Welcome to the Lobot Lounge, the gathering place for the Gentlemen Nerds. The Gentlemen Nerds are three entertainment aficionados who know each other through various media endeavors, getting together to talk about all things nerdy, mostly in the vein of film, television, toys, and popular culture. Many topics are discussed, so please be warned, there are the potential for many spoilers. If you like what you hear, you can listen to past shows on iTunes or on our website, thegentlemannerds.com. And now, enjoy the show. Action Jackson is my name. It's playtime, loungers. Today, here in the Lobot Lounge, we are gathered to talk toys, specifically action figures, from the famed Mego Corporation. These classics of childhood were originally released in 1971 and included licenses for lines such as Planet of the Apes, Star Trek, The Wizard of Oz, and most famously, Marvel and DC superheroes. The Mego style is classic and ubiquitous. We'll discuss the cultural impact of these toys, the influence, the memories, and the current line of inspired Mego figures. And ladies and gentlemen, the return of Mego to Target stores this fall. Gathered at the Lobot Lounge are Mark Finn.
Kiss, that's the name, Kiss. They're really insane.
Aaron DiArrive.
I'm still looking for a complete in-the-box Baron Carza figure. Somebody be nice to me and help me out. Send me a link.
And I'm Joseph Otina, your host and emotional touchstone for this episode of the Lobot Lounge Gentlemen Nerds Podcast. Mego figures.
Mego.
Which, man, I love the origin of the name Mego. I love where that came from. Marty Abrams, the president of Mego, the founder was David Abrams. His son Marty became president in 1970, but his son, David Abrams' son Marty, would always say, Mego, because he wanted to go. You know, when he was a toddler, he would always say, you know, did he want to go with them? Mego, and that's where the name came from.
Yeah, I had no idea. That's awesome. What a great story.
It is an homage to his own son. So, yes, it was founded in 1954 by David Abrams and Madeline Abrams. And they just mostly did like dime store stuff, you know, in the 50s and 60s. But then, you know, Marty Abrams took the direction to action figures. Oh, man. Yes, generic type bodies that we all, you know, if you know Mego figures, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know Mego figures, let me do a quick overview of what we're talking about here. These are 6-inch, for lack of a better word, eight inch dolls, which offend me when you say dolls, because they're not dolls,
they're action figures.
That's right. But they are fully articulated. I mean, we're talking about plastic forms, and they're held together. There are two types. There's type 1 Mego and type 2 Megos. They're all held together though with a similar style of elastic bands that hook into the hips, pull the legs up into the torso area, and connect to the arms. It's all one string, basically, that hold these action figures together. And therefore, they're incredibly articulated. Their joints on the elbows, wrists up and down, the heads turn. Usually the heads are soft rubber, and the knees bend, the ankles bend, the hips turn. You can achieve any number of poses with these amazingly articulated plastic figures. The style of them, and they're very easy to swap out. A different head, new costume. Suddenly, a different character has been born, which was the genius behind Mego figures.
All right.
So let's kind of dive a little bit into our first exposure to them and memories that we may have of some of these classic toys.
Yes.
Actually, let me quickly. I'm reading this on Wikipedia as we speak. But it was that son, that very same Mego son, Martin, who is the one that turned it. He was apparently a recent business school graduate, and he turned it into action figures and interchangeable bodies. That Martin. was that was his contribution. As you said, it was founded in 1954 by David Abrams and Madeline Abrams, and they did do dime store toys.
The little chintzy stuff that you see hanging on the racks, the dime store toy racks,
the little plastic gorillas and the little dinosaurs all that little kind of stuff. So good old Mego Marty said, no, I think we should do action figures.
Well, and let's talk just for a second about the climate. The Migos were largely a response to the G.I. Joe 12-inch figures or one-sixth scale figures, as we refer to them now in the modern era, because we're all actually nerdier than we used to be. G.I. Joe was the first articulated toy for boys. It was literally to compete with Barbie. Mm-hmm. And they sold him as a military man. So all of the accessories were fatigues and guns and helmets and things like that. And somewhere between this and that, the Marx company made their version of these 1/6 or 12-inch scale action figures. And they were doing Western figures. Johnny West was the name of their line, and
they were harder plastic, weren't they?
They were harder plastic. They weren't quite as articulated. But what they made up for was a lot of their accessories were soft vinyl, and the Marx figures came with somewhere between 20 and 7,000 accessories.
Oh, geez.
Well, not really, but they came with a lot.
Right.
And in particular, you know, like if you got the Indian, he came with like 14 or 15 different things. Sam Cobra, the villainous gangster gunfight gambler, came with a doctor's bag like Doc Holliday. And you could put stuff in the bag. You could put his Derringer and his dynamite and all this other stuff in the bag. So these were these really cool things. And so, but these were original character lines. Now, as a kid, I always thought that the Johnny West line was actually John Wayne, because the figure's face looked very much like a John Wayne kind of face.
Right.
So Mego was. Their figures were a little bit smaller, but they were also the first figures that were actually licensed.
Yeah, that's where I think the power came in.
Yes, so I'll throw it back to you, Joseph. I just wanted to kind of set the stage for this.
No, absolutely.
Because 71, you know, for us Gen Xers, 71, you know, is when it's not a touchstone era, but the 70s were a time when all this stuff was available for us on television. So that's why this stuff is so important.
Yeah. And kids grew up watching those cartoons, by the way. I mean, you grew up with the Aquaman and, you know, the Adventures of Superman and the early Marvel stuff and all that kind of thing. So, you know, this is, I guess, the beginning of that you know, synergistic marketing. You know, you've got the show on TV. Kids love it. You've got their face, the superheroes plastered in the comics. You've got them on lunch boxes. You've got them on T-shirts and pajamas. Now, lo and behold, in your hand is an actual toy.
Yeah.
And so, you can have
your own adventures.
That was the difference. That was the difference. Marketing.
Well, we wouldn't be having this discussion. We'd have no Mego Superman or Spider-Man if it wasn't for, and I sang his theme song at the opening, Action Jackson. Action Jackson was the very first line that Mego concentrated on in 1971. And boy, oh boy, did they throw everything they had at it. They had vehicles, they had accessories, they had action packs, they had mission set. And it was their way to compete with G.I. Joe. It was Action Jackson, it was playsets, vehicles. I mean, and Mego was nothing but industrious, because some of these vehicles, playsets, accessories show up much later in other lines, licensed lines, by just retooling what they had and putting it back out there. Action Jackson had a treehouse. Guess what? Planet of the Apes had a treehouse. It looked just like the Action Jackson treehouse. Action Jackson had a treehouse. Guess what? Who else had a treehouse? Dynamite had a treehouse, and she her treehouse was a repainted. You know, so they were very good about reusing that sort of stuff. And you know,
although I never saw it, I know they did Edgar Rice Burroughs' Tarzan as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if there was a Tarzan treehouse.
Sadly, there was not.
Or maybe the Tarzan treehouse was the inspiration for the Planet of the Apes treehouse, since Tarzan was licensed earlier.
Fine, but they never made a Tarzan treehouse, unfortunately.
Yeah, damn it.
Yeah, Tarzan was a licensed figure, absolutely. But you know, it always puzzled me about the Tarzan toy. Real quick on a tangent here, because all the other figures, you know, they were molded. Like if you took their clothes off, which no, never did that. But if you took their clothes off and looked at them, you're like, oh wow, they got the musculature on the chest, very muscular chest. You know, they would pass if you just put a Tarzan like loincloth on a figure, you'd be like, cool, Tarzan. But for some reason, they felt the need to put Tarzan in a complete bodysuit, a skin-colored bodysuit with the leopard print loincloth printed on the bodysuit, right, instead of just giving him a loincloth. I always wondered about that. He's like he's wearing footy pajamas, you know? Here's the thing, though. They did it with Conan. With Conan,
right?
They actually did that. They gave him. They just let him be naked and gave him a fur loincloth, and it was Conan. It looked great. But for Tarzan, he had a pajamas.
Well, come on. Decency. Think of the children.
And Conan was even cooler because he had real hair. Conan had a long mane of black hair and a helmet with a fur loincloth and a battle axe that never really fit into their hands. Let's face it. Their hands were molded in a certain way that really hardly anything would fit into their hands. Yeah. That's why the Planet of the Apes guys who held their guns, they really couldn't hold their guns. You had to tuck it under their arm and prop one of the little hands underneath the stock of the gun and go, well, that's the best I can do.
I'm looking at a picture of the Conan figure. That hair, it's like a Mod Squad kind
of thing. Isn't that great? But you're right. It was the licensing that really started the Mego superstardom. I mean, and the adverts in the toy catalogs, the Sears catalogs, the releases.
Oh my God!
You'd sit there and stare at those at Christmas and go,
"Oh yeah,
that's Iron Man."
That was my first encounter of them. Is what in the awesome and amazing Sears catalog?
Yeah, the world's greatest heroes was the line. Yeah. That was the first thing that they came out with that was licensed superhero action figures, gentlemen. There wasn't anything higher than a superhero action figure at that time.
No.
Spider-Man?
Yeah.
The Lizard? Oh, my. Batman and Robin and Superman? Come on!
Yeah. No, that's wonderful stuff. Wonderful stuff.
Incredible.
The world's greatest superhero line truly took them into legendary territory. They did do, in my personal favorite line, I know this is a travesty to some, was not the superhero line, but as you might figure, my favorite line was the Mad Monsters. Mego did a series of monster figures. I still proudly own my original four Mad Monster figures.
I would have been disappointed if you didn't still own those.
I'm looking up Mad Monsters even as we speak. Oh my God! Yes. Wow! Look at the Wolfman!
Yes. Isn't that great? Holy shit! Because Mego could not license from Universal, or Universal did not grant them the license, they had to design new images or new looks for these classic monsters. Now, Frankenstein's monster and Dracula, they are literary characters, public domain. They could pick those and go, we're going to make Frankenstein's monster and Dracula, and just redesign them. They couldn't have the flat top Karloff head, but the monster that they created, let's talk about their sculpting briefly if I can. And we'll go back into superheroes for a second, but these Mad Monsters, very expressive looks on their faces. The Frankenstein monster from Mego has got a kind of a black wavy hair. The bolts are in the temples. He's got a very sad, forlorn look on his face and a yellow, wrinkled skin tone with a huge, ugly red scar running across his face. Truly the subject and the result of crude experimentation in a lab, wearing what looks like a gold disco belt with a gray turtleneck. And of course, the business suit is ubiquitous with the boots. the hard plastic boots that would slip onto these feet. These were amazing figures. The Wolfman looks like something out of Grimm's Fairy Tales. It is not the Lon Chaney Wolfman. Looks
fantastic.
It is a wolf head on a human body with almost like a medieval tunic. Fur is around the neck and around the sleeves. And of course, the best part about the mad monsters, their eyes and their hands would glow in the dark. Yes. Now, the eye glow in the dark was achieved by putting this gloopy, gloppy, glow in the dark paint kind of covering the actual paint of the eye. I'm proud to say that all four of my figures still glow in the dark when given the right amount of juice. But the hands and eyes that glow in the dark, and then the artwork on these packages. Look, if you're playing around on the computer, look at the artwork on these boxes.
That's what I'm looking at now. That is astounding. Wow. Again, I you know what? That Wolfman is probably one of the best Wolfmen I've ever seen. And the fact is, it does not look like the Lon Chaney, the now very, very popular look. And as we've spoken before in previous shows, you know, I classify the werewolves into one of three categories, right? There's the Wolfman look, which is the Lon Chaney, mostly human, has kind of a wolfy-like feature. There's the man wolf, which is what the Wolfman that Mego does, which is pretty much a full-on wolf head, wolf, but still on a bipedal, vaguely humanoid form. And then we have the full wolf form, where it's just a big wolf running around. My favorite by far is the man wolf, and that is exactly what that Mego figure looks like, folks. And the art on the box is phenomenal. Holy cow. So you have those boxes, Joseph.
I have two of the boxes still. Only two. I have the Wolfman box, which is amazing, and I've got the Mummy. My Frankenstein Monster and Dreadful Dracula boxes, here's what happened to them. My Dreadful Dracula box, when I was a kid, I cut it up because Dracula needed a coffin. I painted the box. I cut three sides of the lid so it could open like a casket, painted it brown. Dracula had a place to go during the day. He needed it. I mean, it's Dracula, for God's sake. He needed a box.
None of this is in dispute. Yeah.
You are nothing if not giving. That is true.
But they also had a play set for the Mad Monsters, which was the Mad Monster Castle. And it was the Wizard of Oz castle, the Wicked Witch's castle, repainted, redone to become the Mad Monster Castle. And all it was a four-sided vinyl fold-up castle. But by God, I love that thing. With four red turrets on the edges, the drawbridge that would open and close, the garish purple brick on the outside, and the design of the inside, lab materials, the skulls that were painted everywhere. It was a perfect home for my Mad Monsters.
Yep, yeah. I'm looking at that now. Yep, purple, a purple cardboard castle.
Vinyl.
It looks like. Vinyl. Sorry. Wow.
It was something else. But that was my favorite set. Now, mind you, superheroes were immensely more popular. I also had the Planet of the Apes licensed figures,
which also were
big in my house. Mark, what? I'm sorry, I went on about the monsters a bit. My God, that's my heart. So, Mark, what are your Mego figures of childhood memories? What are your favorite Mego figures?
Well, the first Mego figures I owned. Okay, now I remember seeing the superhero stuff, but the first Migos that I owned, one year for Christmas, Santa Claus, in his infinite wisdom, bought me a set of all the Planet of the Apes figures. I had literally one of everything. Now my parents made a deal with Santa Claus because apparently while they could swing the action figures, they felt that the play sets were a little too expensive. But they were in certainly in the terms of 1970s money. Mm-hmm. So my engineering parents built me play sets out of wood.
Yes.
And I got to tell you, those things, they were better. They were better because they looked and felt like the play sets or the actual set pieces from the Planet of the Apes TV show. Yeah. And one of the things that my dad built was a guard tower made out of wood that had a slanted roof that he put sticks across, not like popsicle sticks, but like actual twigs.
Yeah, from outside.
So it was a rough wood exterior, and he made a wooden ladder to get up into it. I gotta tell you, I believed in Santa Claus until I was about 13 years old. It was awesome. Well,
sure. That's so cool.
Yeah. And so the playsets did not last long because I played the shit out of them. But I but the ladder actually was very durable and lasted for years. And so the ladder became a part of my G.I. Joe stuff and my other things. The Planet of the Apes things were my first exposure to Migos. And then.
They had a pretty good lineup of the Planet of the Apes figures. They had, you had Cornelius and Zero, which I will admit to all the listeners, my first female action figure ever was Zero.
Absolutely.
And they molded that little Zero to be a little curvaceous. She had bosoms. She had hips, delicate arms and legs, as opposed to the muscular type one body types of all the other ones. So I was a little more than fascinated with making sure her clothes were completely right. So I would had to, make sure I could take them off and put them on again. And let's face it. I was just staring at the boobs. I was opening up Zira's costume and staring at the plastic boobs. And
then, monkey boobs.
On, monkey boobs. Never mind the head. You could put a bag over that. But the body.
Oh, there was Jesus. Oh, my God. Please send all hate mail to Joe Potinos.
But they did a fantastic job, is my point. So Cornelius and Zira, Dr. Zaius, they had a soldier ape. And one of the figure I never had, and Mark, you may have, was the original astronaut in the blue jumpsuit with the white belt and a helmet. I never had the astronaut.
I had the astronaut, and I had General
Ursus. Oh, you had Urko.
Okay. I had Urko, yeah. And so the next year, because I was not to be outdone, and because my dad was into it, I got a set of the Star Trek figures. Now, there were two things that happened here. I got a Klingon, but I didn't get any of the aliens. The aliens actually came later. Mm-hmm. I also didn't get a Uhura figure. Which I wanted as a kid, but didn't show up. And I don't know if it was because my dad was racist or misogynist. I haven't decided which. He could have been both. Who knows? But what I did get, they get me the Enterprise. I had the Enterprise playset. Now, guys, for our listeners, all of the Mego playsets could be closed and serve as a carrying case. I know this was part of the reason why they got me this, because I could put everything in there, shut it up, and take it back into my room. But it opened up and folded up. It was a vinyl thing. There were a few plastic accessories. They had a computer console. They had a captain's chair, mm-hmm. and they had cards that you could slide into the view screen for different looks. And of course, those were the first things that you lost. But the pièce de résistance,
oh man,
was the transporter.
Yep.
It was a simple variation on a magician's cabinet. And what you could do was it was a two-sided chamber. In the bridge, you put the figure in. You spun the transporter with a knob at the top, and the alternating panels were had stickers on them that made a kind of a cool yellow and black effect. Mm-hmm. So that simulated the transporter. And when you push the red button, one side of the character would appear in the bridge. And when you push the green button, it hit a different notch on the switch, and he would appear to disappear, and then you could open up the back of the transporter on the back and take him out, and he would be on an away team. I still remember the commercial: spin the control knob and press the button, Mr. Spock disappears.
I
tried my best to break that.
But that it's such a simple design, but it's brilliant, and it's such. And I remember staring, because I had the Enterprise, and I had the figures, the Star Trek figures. I only had the Gorn, and I had the Klingon, and the other alien who was the half black, half white, and I can't remember his name right now, but from the Star Trek episode. But I had those. Yes, Frank Gorshin.
His name's Frank Gorshin.
Yeah. Frank Gorshin. I had the Frank Gorshin figure.
His name's Frank Gorshin, yeah.
In fact, I had two Frank Gorshin figures. I had a Riddler and I had this guy. Anyway, but yes, you could spin it, and I would remember just staring at it. Like, I wouldn't stop it necessarily, but spin it and watch him, because you could still see the figure appearing as he spun, plus the dissolving effect of the of the teleporter. Yep. It was just mesmerizing and hypnotic. Yeah. You're just staring at it, you know? Just, oh my God, that's brilliant. And that thing was so well designed and so popular that they actually sold it separate from the Enterprise. They did. It was part of the Enterprise playset, but they actually sold a transporter on it in its own package, just the transporter, a little carry area that you could spin it and do the thing, you know?
It should come as no surprise, and this was also part of the brilliance, because they were the same size. My Enterprise was always landing on the Planet of the Apes.
Of course.
It was a constant thing. You know, again with the Planet of the Apes. Spock, go downstairs and shoot them. You know, I mean, it was – I spent – hours in my room trying to solve the mystery of how they became a Planet of Apes, with Kurt freaking out because the astronaut didn't know who he was. It was nice. That was really the genius of Mego, because they were all the same size. What the kids now call a mashup was the easiest thing in the world to do, and mashed them up we did.
Yes. Nice. And World's Greatest was a nice was something that they like to stick on the front of things. So not only, again, we're going to dive into superheroes, folks, I promise you that, but you have to talk about the World's Greatest Super Pirates. They had a pirate line of figures with four. And I do have the pirates that I have are repops, because my original pirates long ago burned up in a garage fire. But they had Long John Silver, they had Jean Lafitte, they had Blackbeard, they had a one-eyed a pirate named Pete or something like that. But there were four pirates, only three historical and one literary, with Long John Silver. But it was the accessories, my friends, that they came with: parrots and pistols and swords and plastic. All these great plastic accessories that could be shared amongst all of your 8-inch figures. Yeah. They had a Robin Hood set with Robin Hood and Little John and Friar Tuck. They had a Western set, American West assortments, and they all had, you know, belts and guns and boots and cowboy hats and these great real clothes that, again, my father would call them dolls, and I kept telling him they're not dolls, Dad, they're action figures. The World's Greatest Super Knights. And this is
remember
the knights?
Yeah,
they had that plastic armor that would snap in place, and they all had swords and shields and helmets. And they had Galahad, and they had Arthur, and they had the Black Knight, which was my favorite. I had the Black Knight at least four or five times, different separate times, because I'd always break him because I played with him so much. And I just loved the armor. I loved the helmet. I loved the look, and that sword you could jam that sword into his little hand, and he could hold that, I guess. My God, they were amazing figures. They were just amazing.
Yep. I was a product of television. So for me, my first, and by the way, I just saw this, Joseph, and I had to share this with you. Mm-hmm. They're talking about the visual inspiration for some of the Mego Mad Monster group. Mm-hmm. And they're pointing out, and it's pretty uncanny, the amazing similarity between the Dracula of the Mego Mad Monster group and Drac from the Groovy Ghoulies.
Absolutely.
When you get a chance, look at that. They are pretty much identical. Their costume, the blue coat, it looks exactly like Drac from the Groovy Ghoulies. But even more interesting, is the Frankenstein, because they're like, where did that Frankenstein come from? They are showing a side-by-side comparison, and it is astounding. Mm-hmm. But basically, Adam from Dark Shadows had the turtleneck, the same color, the skin, the same color hair, mm-hmm. the jacket. He looks exactly like the Mego Frankenstein. Adam.
And for those who don't know, Dark Shadows had a man-made monster storyline, and that in that storyline, the character, the monster,
he looks identical. It's out there. Just Google it, and it'll show you a side by side comparison. You're like, oh, okay, there's the turtleneck, there's the jacket. That's him. And then finally,
that's so funny.
The Mummy is from a movie called Assignment Terror.
Yes.
One of the early Paul
Nashy.
Paul
Nashy's.
And again, side by side comparison. There's the Mummy. Wow, look at the Mummy in Assignment Terror. Yep, that's it. There it is. That's where they got the look from.
That doesn't surprise me at all. Yeah, yeah. I've since seen a documentary with Marty in it, talking about the Mego figures, and he is literally a half step removed from the character Dan Aykroyd used to play on Saturday Night Live. Yeah, yeah, it's imagination, you know, it's a toy, you know, I mean, kids love glass, so you know, here's a bag of it. I mean, he's literally a half step off of that. So,
oh my God,
that you could find these equivalents and show where Mego kind of unceremoniously homaged them, shall we say?
Yeah,
does not surprise me in the least.
No, in fact, it makes me treasure them now. I never knew these monsters existed, but I now want them. I want them. Look at this. They basically did an action figure of the Atom. We watched Dark Shadows of the Atom Monster. They did an action figure based on Drac from Groovy Ghoulies, which I love Groovy Ghoulies.
Dude, I'm about to make you so happy.
Oh no.
There is a company. Uh-huh. And Joseph, I know you found it. It's called FiguresToyCompany.com.
Yep.
Okay.
They have basically gotten the license to reprint the classic Mego line.
Oh my God.
And then they got the license to do new characters in the exact same style as the Migos. So it literally, if there was something from the Mego era that you were like, why didn't they do that? Figures has done it. Yep. They got Aaron. They got Space Ghost. They got Johnny Quest. They got Blue Falcon and Dino Mutt in the style of the world's greatest superheroes. I've done you no favors. Blythe is going to hate me, but it's all there, and they're about $25 a pop. And the good news is, like in Joseph's case, you know, if you've got these original figures, there's no way in hell you're going to open them up if they're in the box. I mean, they're too valuable. They're hundreds of dollars now, but these figures are new and they're making them. And so you can crack the, I mean, even though they're like people are collecting them, blah, de, blah, de, blah, you can crack these things open and play with them because they're toys and they're meant to be played with.
I feel like my two gentleman nerd companions have stumbled into my secret garden.
Take me dinero. Take me dinero.
I have been aware. I have been surrounding myself with these things for years, and yes, they are out there.
I'm gonna buy the monster ones. I just love the design of those. I mean, I've never seen those. I literally today is the first day I've seen them.
Yeah.
And what an amazing design for the monsters when we're so used to the classic Universal look.
Okay.
And to know that these things were out there, but anyway, so to jump back in, a product of television. If I saw a superhero on TV, I bought the figure, right? So growing up with the Batman TV show, I of course owned Batman and Robin. I owned the Joker, Riddler, Penguin. You know, the characters that were basically on the show were part of my collection. I also would watch the old Superman cartoons and Aquaman. So I had Superman, and of course I was a big lover of Thor early on. So I had the Thor action figure.
I love this little hammer came with.
Captain Marvel was a TV on TV Saturday mornings, you know, Shazam. So I had that action figure, you know. So, you know, again, if I saw it on TV, I pretty much bought the action figures. I honestly don't think. I mean, I was born and raised in Brownsville, Texas. I don't remember ever seeing the Mad Monster in stores. So I think we were just sadly neglected in that particular category.
The next time you're over or the next time I see you, I will make sure that you can hold them in your hand.
Oh my gosh.
You can hold them in your hand, warm
in all the wrong places. So.
Well, they're gorgeous, and you're right. You can get them again now, and they come in these great little clamshell boxes that you can crack open. Just cut the edges, crack it open, take your figure out, and just go, oh my god, this is amazing! But then stick it back inside the figure and close the clamshell, and it's got its own little case. Yeah. I'm holding in my hand from the company Nika. Or NECA, I'm not sure how they pronounce it, but they also have a licensed 8-inch Mego style line from Real Toys, and they brilliantly went for the adult collector in the horror genre. I'm holding an 8-inch Mego style Jason Voorhees with a removable mask, machete, harpoon gun, and an axe. He's wearing his green shirt and gray trousers. It's an amazing sculpt taken right from Friday the 13th, Part 3. We've also got a Leatherface, a Fred Krueger, a Pamela Voorhees. They've got them, folks. If you really want a collectible toy to remind you of your favorite character from movies or television, that Mego style, again, that's the brilliance of the Mego style. Just pop off of the head, stick a different head on, the different sculpt, and change the clothes. Now, the head traditionally in the old Migos were soft rubber. You could squeeze their heads, and I remember squeezing the Green Goblin's head and making it look funny because, you know, I could do that. Right. But the Green Goblin was one of my favorites, as was the Lizard. The Lizard head, by the way, was repurposed for the Gorn in Star Trek.
Right.
But the heads, the original heads, go through something that's called by the Migo fan community as a yellowing. They get yellow. Especially a flesh-colored head and some of the flesh-colored characters, over the years, the paint and the rubber start to deteriorate and they become yellowed. They don't rot away. They just look discolored. And sometimes they go gray. You could see a grayish, like they're dead. It's kind of creepy. But there's tutorials online to refurbish your old Migos, how to take a little Q-tip with some alcohol substance and clean your Mego and take off that layer of oil-based rubber that has turned gray. Remove that layer and you've got a fresh, clean, flesh-colored Mego face again, you know? There are lots and lots of groups dedicated to this. As we've been talking, ladies and gentlemen, and of course, gentlemen, yourselves, years ago, I wrote an essay for Cary Gamble, artist and personality, and you know who he is, Mark. Cary Gamble. He had an online monster magazine, Monster Kids Online, and he asked me for an article. So I wrote him an essay, and my essay was called "Christmas with Plastic Dead Men," and it was a love letter to the Mego Mad Monsters. I'm posting it now in the Lobot Lounge. Check it out. It pretty much speaks volumes for that, the love that I have for the particular line. Let's go to superheroes. Okay.
Yeah.
Superheroes.
And by the way, so I know I'm not the only person that would take the fucking costumes off these guys and try them on each other. So I would take Aquaman, take his costume off, put Superman's costume on, and go, look, a blonde Superman. I mean, come on. Who didn't do that? It was great. You could say, like, hey, you know what? I wonder what the Joker would look like dressed as Superman. You know, it's like, why not? So that to me, unlike, and we'll talk about those as well, folks, but unlike the newer action figures, which are, you know, by Todd McFarlane Toys and other companies like that, and Joseph described a few, which are just amazing in their detail and in their sculpt. They're some of the best figures that you can find if you're looking for that realism today. Mm-hmm. But you can't do that. You can't take their clothes off and swap them out. You know, you can't see what Batman would look like in drag. You just can't do that. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, the figures, superhero figures, of course, is what really gave Mego their boost, and the commercials, the TV commercials, particularly for these figures. You know, going down the list, it's an amazing lineup of DC. Your Supermans, your Batmans. And let's talk briefly about your Batman, your Robin, because that was sort of the ubiquitous figure. They were always there. Batman, he came with his mask folded onto his face, so you could never remove his mask. Although they did have a secret identity line where the masks did come off. Batman's cowl could be removed to reveal a Bruce Wayne underneath. He had a vinyl cape, had these vinyl gloves that were pretty useless in terms of holding anything because they were like oven mitts. The Mego gloves tended to be like oven mitts. Now, they learned their lesson by the time they got to the Fantastic Four in the Marvel series, because their gloves weren't gloves at all, but just painted hands, and the design was a jumpsuit. So it looked like they were wearing gloves, but their hand was black.
Hey, Joseph.
Joseph, you are cutting out. Joseph, we've lost almost a good third of what you just said for the last minute or so, because you keep cutting out.
Uh-oh. I'm trying to see if maybe do we all have if we've all got websites open, that might be part of it. It may be a bandwidth thing.
Possible.
Skype is jealous about bandwidth. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Let's Joseph, can you go back to the start of the superheroes and say let's start back to that again
and then close out all your windows.
All done. Okay. I'm all alone out here.
Okay.
Boy, I tell you, they had so many different licenses for these superheroes, so many wonderful characters, and pretty ubiquitous stuff. Your Batmans, your Supermans. Looking at Batman real quick, the Batman character had came with his mask molded onto his rubber head. You couldn't take his mask off. They did, however, come up with a secret identity line later on where you could take his little cowl off. And Batman had a vinyl cape and the jumpsuit and the plastic boots. He also had these vinyl gloves that were basically like oven mitts. You couldn't really do anything with these gloves. You couldn't hold anything, batarang, much less pull anything. And Robin had the same issue. Yes. They fixed it. Yeah, they fixed it by the Fantastic Four line later on in Marvel, where they just painted his hand to look like a glove. You know, so the Green Goblin's gloves were painted. Mr. Fantastic, Sue Storm, they weren't wearing the oven mitts anymore. They just painted their hand, and then they continued to design on the sleeve of the jumpsuit that looked.
And for the record, the Thing was always one of my favorite action figures. He's one of my favorite Marvel characters. Which is why one of the reasons I lament that we haven't had a great Fantastic Four movie. But yeah, the Thing Mego action figure was probably one of that was the crown jewel of my collection. I loved the Thing.
See, I hated the Thing, but I loved the Hulk, because by the time we got to the Hulk, they had done a super muscular body, and the Hulk was made of green plastic. And of course the cloth pants. The Thing, however, they did a Tarzan with him. They gave him the orange Hulk body, so he's big and muscular and actually has a different shape than the other guys. But because they couldn't sculpt onto the figure, they made a jumpsuit that was printed orange rocks.
But what I loved about that is that it made him look like he looked in the comics. I think if they had tried to do the little rocks, he just would have looked like a bumpy orange figure. You know, he wouldn't have looked like the Thing.
Yeah. Back then there was, we were limited by what they could and could not actually manufacture. So it was a very clever solution to the problem. Absolutely. The Human Torch also had the costume that was drawn flames.
I'll point out on the Mego Thing, though, one thing that I always liked, because I had the Thing, I didn't have any of the other Fantastic Four, ironically enough.
Yeah, me neither. Same thing. I only had the Thing.
But the forearm Thing were specifically sculpted for him. The forearms, because the hands were closed in fists, and they were sculpted with the rock. And if you pulled his jumpsuit up to his elbow, the entire forearm was sculpted that way. It was all that sculpted plastic orange rock. Which was pretty cool. The same thing with the Lizard. The Lizard had one closed fist hand and one open one, which I loved, because the Lizard was one of the few Marvel Spider-Man villains who could punch him because fist. And that closed fist was sculpted with reptilian scales. The bottom part of the Lizard legs, from the shins down to his feet, were also uniquely sculpted to be reptilian, because he wore the short knee pants, the torn pants at the knee, and the bottoms of his legs were scales. Right. So they did do some tooling for some figures, which I'm sure was a cost expense that Marty Abrams didn't like, but made the figures so much cooler. Just the little touches like that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and oh, the Lizard, my favorite superhero or super. You know what? I'm lying. I have so many of them. I love the Green Goblin. I love the Joker. The Joker. Oh my god.
Yeah, the Joker's Joker. Fantastic. The Joker it's looks fantastic great.
Fantastic Joker. But the Lizard had this cloth tail attached to his yes. purple pants. And that was another great thing, because Spider-Man could grab him by the tail and throw him. The Lizard could also wrap it around Spider-Man's neck and slam him to the ground. I mean, the imagination that these toys opened up, the ability for us. The Green Goblin's little satchel purse was, of course, the first thing you lose. But yes. he had that. He had his satchel, you know, for his pumpkin bombs. Yeah. As a kid, I cut out of construction paper. I made a glider for him because he needed a glider. Yes. So I cut it out of construction paper, the bat-shaped glider, and put little hoops. Because in the comics, it was very clear how he rode the thing. I put glued little hoops onto the wings of the glider and just kind of hooked his feet into it. And then he had a glider. He could fly around on it, you know?
Now, my favorite character was Spider-Man, obviously. Mm-hmm. But the characters that I played the most with, they made a Captain America with a mm-hmm. shield, and they made a Falcon.
Yes.
And this was a big deal, you know, because in the comics at this time, Cap and the Falcon were a team, and the yeah. Falcon, again, he had sort of the same Mego suit deal, but his suit came with wings. He had the underarm wings. And so I loved the Falcon and play with Captain America and the Falcon probably more than anything else. And I had the other stuff. As well.
I'm looking at a Doctor Strange that is beautiful. And I don't know if this was a later Mego, but it says Mego and it's in the little Mego Museum, but it's a beautiful Doctor Strange Mego figure. If I'd seen this as a kid, I would have instantly bought it.
It's probably a later one.
Okay.
It was not part of the original.
It looks astounding. Yeah. It looks astounding.
Well, I will tell you that one of the things ordinarily I'm very sacrosanct about the Migos, but the figures toy line did something recently that I think is probably one of the few times where they took the Migo thing and they improved upon it. They made a Batman line for the 66 TV show.
Yep.
And they went to great lengths. Of course, the bodies are just about the same, but the mm-hmm. costumes slightly different that really emphasized, for example, Adam West's cowl, which sat under his cape, you know, yeah. A full line of villains, including Egghead, Cesar Romero, Joker, and several different costumes. They even made the Minions, the Catwoman, and the thing that was, I literally almost did this. They came up with a whole blister card of accessories for Batman and Robin. Almost every single bat labeled item that they used in the TV show made it as a tiny little accessory that could go with the Mego Batman figures.
And these were done recently, you said, Mark?
Yes, on the Figures Toy site, Figures Toy Company, you can see them. The likenesses are beautiful. They even did Bruce Wayne and Dick Grayson figures in the style of Adam West and Burt Ward.
Holy shit. I'm looking at them now. Oh my God.
I almost wish that's something. I feel like that's the one thing we're like, wow.
Those are action figures. Holy
They are action figures.
Yeah.
God.
Of that line, I have Batman, Robin, the Joker, the Riddler, and the Penguin. Yeah. Of that repop line, they're all the 66.
They're fantastic looking. I mean, look at the detail on Batman's face, the mask with the little line, the little light blue eyebrows, and that is really stellar work.
The accessory pack comes with foldable bat shields. They even come with like a separate head with Batman and Robin with the rebreather masks on their face. So, whenever he does the bat gas or other things, you know, they always put the little scuba activator in their mouth. They've got pop off heads that let you change those out. So the play value on these and the display value is incalculable, frankly. So.
Wow.
I just wanted to mention that because we were talking about the superhero line. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was not even aware of these. And they are, oh, look, they have Shane. They have they have the Mad Hatter. Man, Bookworm.
I know. Roddy McDowell.
They actually have the Otto Preminger Mr. Freeze, the Batman. I am warning you. Look, there he is. There he is. Holy cow. Yeah. Wow. And so are these are available now?
Some of them are. Joseph, okay. I think we've lost Aaron.
Yeah, you guys. I mean, Blythe is going to kill both of you for introducing me to this freaking website. Because it is astounding. And, you know, again, to me, like Joseph said before, it is the superhero line I was aware of the Planet of the Apes ones and the Star Trek ones. But, man, superheroes. And they continue to be one of the best-selling toys today, but show me a good set of superhero action figures and take my money, I will buy them.
Joseph, I am dying to hear about this ever since you teased it. Tell me about the Mego line returning. I want to hear about this. I don't know what's going on, but you got to spill.
Ready, here it comes. Marty Abrams, co-founder and CEO of Mego, they're recreating the company's action line, and they're going to be exclusive to Target. And this new line of collectibles will be at your Target starting July 29th, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. Because they had a first look at San Diego Comic-Con, the Mego name, the line of figures and celebrity action figure accessories. Here's an exciting bit. One thing that the Star Trek line never had, and I always kind of didn't like the fact that they never had it, was a Sulu or a Chekhov. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? One of the first figures they're releasing, Mr. Sulu.
Wow.
Amigo Sulu. They got an Amigo Harley Quinn, because everyone wants a Harley Quinn, of course. Yeah. They're going to do an Action Jackson again. You're Action Jackson from Amigo, the very one of the did. They also have a IG of Genie licensed lines. They'll have Genie and, of course, which is Major Nelson as well in a double two-pack. They haven't announced any superheroes yet, but surely that's coming. They have Brady Bunch license, Cheers license, I Dream of Genie license, nice. Children license, 8-inch figures, two packs, and even some dioramas, all arriving at your local Target July 29th.
Wow, nice. That's amazing. Yep. I am stunned. That's awesome.
Okay, I just found the Mad Monster series. Oh, hold on, I'm just gonna type in my credit card number. Because look, there it is. There's Frankenstein, and my God, at $25, a bargain. I'm getting him. There is the Wolfman with his little tunic. Done. Purchased. I'll just call this an early Christmas present to myself. Wow. Yeah, man. You know, this is one of the things I love about doing shows like this with you fellows is that, you know, we all grew up in the same era. We all grew up with the same kind of toys, but you know, Joseph, for some reason, I think some little strange other dimensional entity, just favored him, always found all of these amazing toys that I had never heard about, much to my loss. I mean, I would imagine how I would have reacted if somebody had said, why, look, 9-year-old Aaron, look at this Wolfman figure. I would have gone, oh, my God. That would have been the coolest thing ever. Look at this Frankenstein figure. Look at this Dracula figure. I would have gone, he looks just like Drac from the Groovy Ghoulies. Anyway.
he really does.
I love this. So, yeah. So, folks, it is the figurestoycompany.com. If you want to go and look at all of these, and they have like the Batman classic TV series, they have DC Comics, they have Hanna-Barbera characters, they have Kiss. You can get all the Kiss action figures. They have the Monster, Mad Monster series, which I'm going to purchase. And they have all kinds of, they have Stan Lee, they have Tarzan. This is amazing. So now, is this company, Mark, that they were given permission to reprint all of the Mego action figures?
I can only assume that they licensed them.
Oh,
well, they're called the Remigos. And yes, they had to go through Marty, especially if they're recreating the superhero lines, which may explain why the new Migos don't include them, because they're already out there. Right. Because they're basically the same things. I mean, literally the head sculpts, everything. It's the same stuff. So I'm assuming that's why we don't see them. But yeah, they're licensed to Mego, but of course the license really goes to DC Comics and those types of things. Right. All the Planet of the Apes.
You know, funny, I'm looking at their Tarzan. Tarzan's still in his goddamn fleshy bodysuit, but his son Korak is not. Right. His son is naked as the day is long, and he's got his little loincloth, of course. But that's funny that that's how they distinguish. You know, Tarzan, no, he wears the pajamas. But his son Korak.
Now Mego did other lines too. We're running out of time rapidly, but they also had great other products that while we just couldn't get to, including 12-inch superheroes and a smaller pocket-sized comic book action figures that were hard plastic, 5 points of articulation, but they were like pocket superheroes. You could pocket and go play. They also had, in addition to the television toys, and they had the Wizard of Oz, they had the Kiss figures. They licensed action figures from the rock band Kiss. And those were big. They were
12-inch. They were 12-inch. They were the same scale as G.I. Joe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. They're the ones who did the Black Hole action figures. They went small because here's the truth of it, folks. Marty Abrams made a huge mistake. He turned down Star Wars. When Star Wars came out, Mego, wanting them to produce their toys, and Marty turned them down. He said, "We're going to go bankrupt if we make figures for every one-off low-budget sci-fi movie that comes along." So they went to Kenner, and the rest is toy history.
Yeah.
And
it changed there's a great TV show called the Toys That Made Us, and they have Marty, and they talk to him on video, and they say, How do you feel about your decision to turn down the Star Wars action figures now? And he went, "Do you have a rope?"
Very true. But they did make the Black Hole figures, which, by the way, I had both
the little robot, the little floating friendly robot, and I had our infamous Maximilian. I actually had both of those action figures.
Yeah. Yep. No, so that was Mego in a last ditch attempt. One of the other lines we haven't spoken about, although Aaron did mention it earlier, were the Micots. Mego released the Micots. Based on the Microman toy line in Japan, they brought them here to the States and they gave them stories and gave them names and came up with the coolest bad guy ever, Baron Karza.
Yep.
Aaron, if you will, describe the Baron Karza.
So Baron Karza is a very much in the same vein as a Darth Vader kind of a figure. He's clad in black armor and his eyes are red and he's sort of this robotic looking guy. Marvel produced, which is one of my favorite little miniseries that they did. They produce a comic line called the Micronauts, where they had some amazing. Michael Golden, is that his name? The artist for it was just astounding. He is one of my favorite artists, and he did the most beautiful renditions of the Micronauts, Croyer, Bug, just Baron Karza looked fantastic. At the same time that they were, you know, again, that synergy, they were selling the toys as well. I came to the toys first. So I went and bought, you know, three or four different colored Croyers, and I bought my big Biotron figure and Space Glider and Time Traveler and all the different action figures. And then was in a store one day and I looked at the comic rack and went, "Hey, what's this? Introducing the Micronauts." So, of course, I bought every single issue. I actually saw Ant-Man and the Wasp last night, and it was very fun, very enjoyable. I definitely recommend it that everybody go see it. I think Wasp now probably has, cinematically speaking, my favorite set of superpowers of any superhero, because just the way she uses it, shrinking down and growing and flying around and you know, that sort of thing. The choreography of her combat scenes is superb.
Yeah.
And so that combination of superpowers, so you can shrink, grow up, shrink, you know, shrink other things. It's just really amazing. You have to be really inventive, and cinematically, it's beautiful. But one of the things I keep hoping for, I don't think we'll get it, but I keep hoping for, when they shrink down to the subatomic level and they go into the quantum universe, and they keep flying by these big molecular strand looking worlds, I keep thinking, I hope that's the Micronauts. I hope they're there. Look at that spiky planet. Was that Spartak? Is that where King of Croyer lives? I keep hoping, folks, that we will get a Micronauts tie-in to the Marvel Universe. Like I said, I don't think we will, but what a joy. What a joy. So when I was a kid, I had a Baron Karza. And of course I pull it out of the box, and, you know, he could fire his fists and fire missiles out of the middle of his stomach. And, he had a horse called Nebula that you could take his legs off, and then it would take Nebula's head off, and then he'd become a centaur, which again, they show in the comics. But, you know, of course he got played with, and parts got lost, and parts of him broke off, and he got tarnished. And so I've been looking for a full, complete, in-the-box Baron Karza action figure, and I found one at an Austin toy fair many years ago, but I considered it was $150, and I considered it too pricey at the time. I regret that decision now, but at the time, I'm like, oh, gosh, I really can't afford to spend $150 on an action figure. But I continue to look, and now you find them on eBay every now and then, but they're $800, you know, $750, yeah. And that's definitely too expensive. I mean, I don't want to pay the price that I would pay for a brand new television. But yeah, Micronauts were among my favorite of the action figures. I love them. They were inspired by a line of Japanese toys, and then they became their own thing with their own story and a tie-in Marvel comic. That was really well written, by the way. If any of you get a chance to read the old Micronauts, starting with issue one, the old Micronauts, and you can get it by doing, which I just discovered, which I love, Marvel Unlimited. Marvel Unlimited is an app for your phone or your tablet where you basically get access to all of the old Marvel series, which includes, if you wanted to go back, we just had a show about Steve Ditko. You want to read all the Ditko Spider-Mans? You can. You want to read, I'm reading the John Byrne Fantastic Four? You can. You can go back and look at Doctor Strange. You can look, I mean, it's just, it's an astounding resource. You can, if you join now, you can get it for like, I think, 2 cents for the first month. After that, I think it's like $5 or something. But unlimited access to all of Marvel's, the most popular backlog of comics, which are literally thousands and thousands and thousands of titles that you can read. And I think the Micronauts are on there, if I'm not mistaken. But I suggest every fan read the Micronauts comics. They're just so good. The characters are so good. The story is really wonderful. And Baron Karza
certainly the first year's worth.
Yes. After actually stopped reading it once it became. Funnily enough, Steve Ditko started doing art for subsequent Micronaut issues, which I had sort of lost interest after the first initial run.
Our worlds collide.
Yep. So yeah, I am a fan. I'm a fan of the Micronauts. Had many of the toys. And yes, if one of you finds a complete inbox Baron Karza and just realizes that they love me so much that they want to send me this figure, I, of course, will be forever grateful, and I will dedicate an entire episode where I do nothing but talk about what a wonderful person you are.
suitable for playing at any sort of memorial event, obviously. Yes.
I hate to say this, guys, but we're reaching quickly the end here. So we're going to wrap up on this. We could go on obviously for a while talking about these great toys and our memories of.
Shot Maximilian's giving us the red eye. I hate that robot, even though he was a Mego figure. He sucks, and so yes.
The Gentleman Nerds is a Cloak and Dagger production and written by Aaron DiOrive, Mark Finn, Ben Gibbs, and Joseph Fotinos, with additional material provided by Dr. Migo. Music composed and performed by the amazingly talented Ben Gibbs. Promotional material, logos, and the Gentleman Nerds mascot, nameless but maybe one day he'll be an action figure, created by artistic goddess Michelle Fitzpatrick. The Lobot Lounge bouncer is Maximilian, and our special guest bartender was Jeffrey the Giraffe, where I've gotten so many Migos. Our sound editor, mixer, and intentional producer is Ben Gibbs. Our executive producer and the man we all pray never gets superpowers is Aaron DiOrive. Mark Farnash is the man in the gorilla suit. Web hosting by Rustix Interactive. Technical assistance provided by Blythe Christopher DiOrive. Ladies and gentlemen, please join us in the Lobot Lounge when next we open. And always remember, tip your bartenders and your waitstaff and don't stop playing. I'm Joseph Fotinos, reminding you all once again that Red Skull lives.
Hello. Hello. No, I can't hear you at all now. Oh, yeah, yeah. Technical.